Population Queens Municipality Regular Council Tuesday, October 12th. Are there any changes to the agenda? Any changes to the agenda? If not, I'll ask for approval of the agenda. Councilor Gidney has moved. Councilor Amaro has seconded. All those in favor? And if I would just make a note, it's not a correction because it was stated, but at last council meeting in 8.9, it was thought that double vaccination would have to be, or vaccine would have to be proven to enter the council chambers. Clarification from the province came up last week stating it's a legislative right to participate, meaning be here and listen. Therefore, double vaccination is not required to attend the council meeting. It would be interesting to note how the province house deals with that today. But they also follow suit. Are there any petitions to table? Public question comment session. Anyone wishes to make any comments, please give your name, civic number, and there is a maximum 5 minutes. Anyone wish to?
Leon Robertson, County Street, Liverpool. Here, according to the public hearing, we want to be looking at recommending that you rezone that land out there to residential so there can be housing there. It's good to see that because it's partially populated out there. And another comment is the, are the renovations completed here for the council chamber, or is there more to do?
I think the physical renovations may be completed. Of course, the sound and the video quality is still a work in progress.
Okay.
No decisions made on that.
One other comment, when is the clock going to be replaced? Minor detail, but it's always nice to have it there.
Yeah, well, these things work a lot. These things work a lot.
Thank you.
Yep. Is that it for public comment session? Alrighty. We didn't approve. Approval of the minutes. Regular council meeting. September 28th. Moved by Maddie, Councillor Charlton, seconded by Councillor Brown. All those in favor? Passed. Move a special council meeting September 24th. Moved by Councillor Hawks, seconded by Deputy Mayor Muse. All those in favor? Passed. Recommendation. There's a recommendation in your package if someone would like to make that. Councilor
Mara. I move that the Council of Regional Queens Municipality appoint Mackenzie Culp to the Accessibility Advisory Committee.
Seconded by Councilor Gidney. And as you know from last council meeting, there is still one public vacancy. And Ms. Culp had expressed wish before to sit on this committee. Some personal reasons came in her way, but now she's ready to go at it. Any other questions or comments? If not, we'll ask for the question. All those in favor? 6.2. And this is the rezoning we just had the public hearing for. My Christine. We'll just wait till everyone gets to take the council charge.
Thank you. Right, Christine?
Yes. And there is a recommendation. Deputy Mayor Muse.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give second reading to a bylaw respecting the amendments to the land use bylaw, which sees the rezoning of PID number 70275185 from fishing and marine M3 to mixed use coastal residential arson.
And that's seconded by Councillor Charlton. Are there any questions of Mr. McLeod? No questions? Hearing none, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Passed.
So moved that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the Audit and Internal Control Committee Terms of Reference as amended.
And that's seconded by Counselor Charlton. Do you want to just give brief information?
This recommendation relates to a discussion that we had at the September 28th council meeting regarding the application for appointment to the Audit and Internal Control Committee, whereupon council has decided that they would like to be able to offer both of the applicants a place on the committee. So therefore, the terms of reference had to be changed, the number of public members from 3 to 4. And the CAO and I, when we were looking over the terms of reference, we also noticed an inconsistency with the duration of mandate. When the current public members were appointed, the term ended on March 31st, 2023. And the terms of reference said it was October 2022. So we took this opportunity with the amendment to change so that there was a consistency across the terms of references and when the audit committee members were appointed. So those are the only two changes, and I did attach the new terms of reference for your reference.
Any questions of Ms. Vino? Hearing none, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Appointment to the Audit and Internal Control Committee, 6.4. There is a motion within the package. Councilor Charlton?
I move that Council of the Region of Queens Municipality appoint the following people to the Audit and Internal Control Committee immediately for a term to expire on March 31st, 2023. Patricia Purcell of Hunts Point and Melissa Thiel of Brooklyn.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. Are there any questions? As you may recall, at last week it was felt that Patricia Purcell brings with her a history of investment banking, and Melissa Thiel is currently working on her CPA designation. So it was felt that both brought equal strengths. If there are no questions or comments, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? 6.5, solid waste account deactivation. We'll make the motion, and then Cantino will give us the explanation on this matter. Councilor Brown.
Recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality approve the deactivation of accounts 1082 and 1561 in our accounting system.
And that's seconded by Deputy Mayor Meeks.
So again, this recommendation relates to a discussion that was had both at the previous Audit and Internal Control Committee meetings and at Council. The way our current accounting software works is that if an account is considered active because of the MGA and our obligation to still charge interest, and not, you know, we can't, as accounting staff or finance staff, we can't just stop charging interest. It's against the MGA. So we are continuing to accrue interest on these two accounts, and there's no way we're going to collect any of interest, and we're not actually going to be able to collect any of the outstanding amounts. There's no budgetary impacts to this. It is simply an accounting entry, and it will just prevent us from accruing interest and having interest on our statement of operations that is uncollectible. So it's literally a housekeeping issue.
Any questions? Councilor Gidney.
So I understand that this status ran out. It was not following policy, our procedures, and we put in place restrictions so this will not happen again. Is that correct?
Oh, correct. Correct. And to be honest, I mean, at the time these situations were allowed to occur, I'm not completely certain that there were, you know, very clear cut criteria, because we've just started to review all of those policies now. But yes, Councilor Gaines, you're absolutely right. There's a clear payment policy in place. There's a cutoff policy in place. Our accounts receivable clerk distributes a list of people. They're cut off, and they can't no longer use the solid waste facility. So this will not happen.
Councilor Vance.
The financial indicators, I think that's called it, with the province project, does that affect this now by showing that we no longer in debt to these things or not have collected?
No, no, because the financial indicators are all based on the numbers that are in our accounting system. So on the statement of operations, we talked about the accounts receivable on this side and the valuation allowance on this side. What may influence the financial indicators is the fact that these two accounts used to be included in the valuation allowance for taxes, which was an error, which we remedied this year. So when I do the financial information return, which is late getting out, so I have not, and since I've been here, been able to work my way through that document, that's usually out in June, and in, it's legislated to be in by September 30th. We have yet to receive it as municipal units because of the startup funds. They had to add a part to the FIR, financial information return, which required executive approval, and as you all know, because of the change in government, things were slow. So I'll be able to answer that question better, Councillor Fancy, once I've worked my way through the financial information return. But in terms of money that we've collected, it won't, because it's just an accounting entry, but as it was in the valuation allowance for taxes, and now it's moved to the other accounts receivable valuation allowance for last year, that may be an issue. But I'm not really able to answer that for sure until I've worked my way through the information return.
Okay, thank you.
Questions? If not, I'll ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Policy 84, flags. There is a recommendation here.
Yeah.
Someone like to make it? Councillor Brown?
I recommend that the Council of Region of Queens Municipality approve Policy 84 respecting flags.
Seconded by Councillor Merrill. This is, any questions to Mr. McNeil? I'll go Council Brown first.
Okay. We have another item upcoming on the agenda. And with the special purpose flags, we have everything designated as a single flag. I'd like to make an amendment to this recommendation that we amend the special purpose flags to allow flying of two flags on one pole.
How do you suggest that be done?
There's a couple of places in there where it just says that an organization can request that a non-standard flag, if we change that to organizations can request that non-standard flags be flown to mark special days.
Flag slash flags?
Yes.
So either singular or plural?
Yeah.
And that would be in the first paragraph.
One in each
paragraph.
Yeah.
Is there a seconder for that amendment? Councillor Charlton? Discussion on the proposed amendment. Any discussion on the proposed amendment? I believe it needs further clarification. Or just leave it as it is. If not, I will ask for the question on the proposed amendment. All those in favor to the proposed amendment, if by raising your hand, contrary, pass. Discussion on the motion as amended. Any discussion on the motion as amended? Councillor Fancy?
Yes, just to clarify to any of the public what were any changes to what is being made to the flags, what we're doing here, so everybody else will know too.
Sure, we'll go over it again. It was a discussion point last week, so it was thoroughly discussed then. Mr. McNeil, would you just go over the main changes?
Sure. So essentially the current flag policy is very prescriptive, and it has very detailed dates and places and locations of poles and all those types of things that are listed in there. And as staff, we determined that it's impossible to follow the policy. We want to follow the policies. It's impossible due to the nature of the wording and things that are in there. So the policy has been changed to be more reflective of what we're able to do as opposed to mandating things that we just physically cannot do in certain times. So for instance, the current policy says so it's impossible for us to meet the terms and conditions of the policy in some instances. So those types of, that type of wording has been removed. So essentially just says if there's four flags on a pole, there's four flags that are designated under the policy. If there's two flag poles, those are the two flags that are flown. If it's one flag pole, that's the itemizes what the one flag pole is. So that takes away any discretion as to people changing flags or putting different flags on the poles. It's very clear in the policy what flags go on what poles. And that also moves the special purpose flag pole. Currently it's at the waterfront, the mast on the waterfront. We've had lots of concern expressed. It's inaccessible, it's inappropriate, it's right in the middle of a parking lot. We put the flag up, it doesn't last very long because of the high winds and things there, versus the proposal in the new policy is to put up the Town Hall Arts and Cultural Center, which is right in the center of Liverpool. It's much more visible to the downtown area and to people coming and going, and it's a much safer location if people want to hold a flag raising or something else like that down there. So that's what's being proposed, is to move it to the that flag pole there. And then the final part of it is we've added in the appendices additional days for which the flag, the special purpose flag, is flown that the municipality owns and puts up without any public request. So there's been several days there added, which are in Appendix B. And as well, there's a couple of days that have been added in Appendix C for when the flags are flown at half mast. So the policy does provide for the community to request other days or flags to be posted or flown, as we talked about. And those are over and above the policy. There's an application form for the policy that allows for that.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? Councilor Gidney.
On the standard flags, the last paragraph, at no time shall any special purpose flag replace any standard flags except at the request of a governing body, flag body, or when authorized by the deputy clerk or council to be placed on a special purpose flag pole. I requested the authorized by deputy clerk or be deleted. And when authorized by the council to be placed on special purpose flag pole.
Is there a seconder for that amendment? Councilor Fancy?
Yes.
Discussion on the amendment. So basically, it is we're removing the ability of the deputy clerk to. At no time shall any special purpose flag replace any standard flags, except at the request of the governing flag body or council.
Or, yes.
Which would then mean that if there was any special purpose flag to replace a standard flag, there would have to be a council meeting in order to do that. Councilor Carlton?
I'm just curious if maybe Mr. McNeil can give insight on when that could happen. So at our last council meeting when we had this discussion, we talked about not having council have to authorize, for example, the past councilor that passed away because of those dates and then possibly being held up and not being able to honor something. So would this be a similar situation? What would, if you provide any insight for that, I guess?
I guess as we learned this year, nothing is straightforward depending on the situation. So the wording is put there in case, for instance, if there was a, and this relates to the standard flags. So if the province decided something happened and they wish to have the Nova Scotia flag replaced with a particular different flag. So if the Nova Scotia decided it's our 250th, well, it's a bad example, but if it's 250th anniversary and they had a special flag done by the province, they would ask us to remove the Nova Scotia flag and put up this special flag. Canada did a number of years ago have the Canada 150 flag, and they did that during certain times or whatever, asked us to change it out. Some of those are straightforward, so the wording is simply there in case something happens, that we don't want to be the only municipality in the province that doesn't follow what we're being asked to do, because we have to have a special council meeting or have to go through a council process.
And so, just for clarification to that comment, in an instance like that, that would not fall under an emergency meeting, so then you would need to give 3 days notice if the mayor calls it for a special council meeting? So, we could miss that, is what you're saying?
That's correct. And so the wording there is except that there a government that's gonna request that we use a different flag for a particular purpose on a particular day.
Correct.
99% of the time, I expect it's gonna be well known in advance of the situation, but sometimes it's not, and so that's why we get behind it.
So if it's well known in advance, it would still, we would expect to see it on the council agenda, it would only be in the instance if it was something that couldn't be, that is up, right?
That's correct, because it would come to council, there's a council, but it's only those odd situations or abstract situations where the deputy clerk would say, yes, the governing body can send us a letter, an email, or whatever, and says they want this done.
Okay.
And it often happens very quickly, in these odd situations, it doesn't give us a couple weeks' notice.
Thank you.
Councilor Gidney?
It says, accept at the request of the governing flag body. So the problem is something like that would be done at their request, and it would not need anyone's approval, according to this.
Any other discussion on the proposed amendment? Councilor Clancy?
Yes, I like what our CAO said for explanation, and for probably for the most part that would be a good thing, but it's always things, any kind of flag or any kind of things that go up or do, we are always accountable. So it's always a concern to me that something which we don't even think about comes through, that we always have to be accountable for what's transpired. So I agree with Councilor Gidney that it should be more restrictive, I guess.
Other comments? Not, and then I ask for the question on the proposed amendment, which would read, at no time shall any special purpose flag replace any standard flag except at the request of the governing flag body or when authorized by council to be placed on the special purpose flag. All those in favor of the proposed amendment? Contrary? Carried. Back to the main motion as amended. Councilor Gidney?
In special purpose flags, down to the second paragraph, the end, all such special purpose flags requests that are not pre-authorized according to Appendix P shall be forwarded to council for review. I think that should read, will require approval by council at a council meeting.
All such special purpose flags that are not pre-authorized according to Appendix, you were suggesting, shall be forwarded to council for review.
Shall be forwarded to council for review, replaced with will require approval by council at a council meeting.
There's a second for that amendment? Questions, comments. This will definitely require any special purpose flag except on the list to come to council. Think back of BON, other groups that aren't aware of this policy, contact us a week before. If that happens to be a Wednesday after council meeting, and then it's 3 weeks before that flag can go up.
Can you repeat that last part? I didn't hear what you said there.
It said all such that are not pre-authorized.
Yes.
So if we have a council meeting today, and then let's say the flag, the special flag pool is empty, but it's not this month, but let's say it is empty. And tomorrow it's special coffee cup mug, I don't know what it's special.
Yes, okay.
And suddenly someone realizes, I forgot to get my thing in. It should have, I had said as part of the group that I would ask permission for it to be hung. If they contact us tomorrow and they want it up next week, they wait until the end of the month for the special
special council meeting, for the council meeting, and their time may well have been passed.
So it must be done within that 4-week period, is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm just saying that if they haven't, if someone forgets, which they sometimes do, and they put their request in the day after council, and they want it the next week, they can't get it the next week, because there's no council meeting to approve it.
But it says in the same paragraph, they must be submitting an application on the attached appendix A at least 4 weeks prior to the expected display posting.
Yes, Councilor Gidney, I realize that, and we sometimes are human, and we sometimes do allow instances where people do forget things. And it's very difficult as a mayor to say, oh, I'm sorry, you didn't request your flag 4 weeks prior, so you can't have your flag. It's just very difficult. We're human beings. Everybody isn't aware of this policy. The 4 weeks prior is to give time for staff to get their you know, to have it ready, to put it on the chart. But as human beings, sometimes people forget. But if this council wants to be so rigid and say to people who don't know of this matter that you didn't give us 4 week notice, you can't fly your flag. Up to you.
Then we should be changing that in the policy then.
Should this go back as a discussion point? What do you want to do, Council? Do you want to vote on that amendment? Amendments on the floor.
I believe it. Well, we see what's there. I think we've got to be careful not to lead each other into what we're doing. We just have our opinions here. I think it's all still accountability to us what goes up on the flagpole. So I like to be, as a counselor, always be that. People have rules to follow. They got 4 weeks. They're going to have to abide by it. So I think it's very appropriate.
There's no other comments. I'm going to ask Councilor Brown.
I worry that we're trying to change our flag policy to get rid of all the specifics in it that hamstring us now, and we're adding more specifics in it to micromanage everything that makes it almost impossible. I think we need accountability, but I think we have to have some flexibility built in. If we take any flexibility out of it, just in the sake of accountability, then, you know, we're not doing ourselves a service.
Charlton?
When we discussed this at our last council meeting, the point that sticks out to me the most was flexibility. So I think there has to be a balance there as well. And, you know, the flags can't be denoting political or religious bodies, so these would be, you know, I wouldn't think this would be a concern, in my opinion. So I would like to allow some flexibility, and maybe that's, and to Councillor Gidney's comment about changing the wording of the 4 weeks prior to say that we are allowing more flexibility, but I'd hate to see a flag turned down to honor something in this community if we can't get it canceled on time.
The question at this point in time is the amendment that will say that will basically leave out shall be forwarded to council for review and will require approval by council at a council meeting. So I'm going to ask the question. There's no more comments on that amendment. I'm going to ask for the question. All those in favor of removing shall be forwarded to council for review and add instead will require approval by council at a council meeting. All those in favor of that amendment? Contrary? Amendment's defeated. to the motion as amended. Counselor Gidney?
On appendix B, application for flying the flag, as the police note should be changed, have the application placed on upcoming council as for approval, should be deleted.
On appendix B.
Please note, under consideration, considering the work for which applications are received, so an application placed on upcoming council for approval, should be deleted.
I don't see where you're at, my appendix B just says the list.
The application form?
Page what?
On the application form.
Do you know where he's talking?
I see my application form. Appendix A is the application form.
The back of the page is B.
The back of the page is B.
Yep. So where's the document?
Yeah, I jumped to, I'm sorry, I jumped to the next, motion, 6.7, on the appendix B application form.
Oh, we're not, yes.
That's where I got this information from.
All right. So we're still on 6.6, as amended. Any further discussion on this motion as amended? So we've added plural for flags, under special purpose flags. And we have deleted or when authorized by the deputy clerk under standard flags. That's the motion as amended. I'm going to ask for decision on the motion as amended. All those in favor? Contrary? One thing's passed. 6.7. Councilor Charlton.
I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality accept the application to fly the Every Child Matters flag on the special service flag pole.
Seconded by Councilor Brown. Mr. Lee, this came from your committee's request from your committee.
Yeah, so as outlined in the report accompanying the application and discussions on the National Day for Truth and Reconciliation at our flag raising ceremony, representatives from the Mi'kmaq Grand Council suggested that the Every Child Matters flag should be flown with the Mi'kmaq Grand Council flag during the month of October, at which time I was asked to put this application to council.
Thank you. Any questions?
So these would be flown together in
ideally.
Yeah, okay. Great.
Then ask for the question. All those in favor? Contrary? Passed.
Okay.
Thank you. Discussion points. 7.1. Mr. Grant. So this is a discussion point which would go forward to next council as either as a recommendation or come back for discussion or defer to another committee. So since we're first seeing this, can you just basically just sum it up for the sake of our viewing audience who may not have the papers in front of them?
Sure. So this is just an update to an existing policy to bring it more to what we see written in today's policies, our previous left us, so I'm looking to appear into the role of the deputy traffic authority in my absence. Just a matter of bringing everything current, just housekeeping.
Any questions? Councilor Brown.
I see in most of the policies that we had before, we name an individual person. Is it always the same job position that ends up being traffic authority, like the you know, the head of engineering and the assistant?
Not necessarily. So historically, I guess for instance, when I came in 2007, John Croft was in the special constable and bill inspector was traffic authority. When he left 2011-ish, the RCMP took it over until last summer in July when they, I guess, removed himself from that role and asked that we take over. So, right. Since then, I was the, I guess, the traffic authority. Brad was previously the deputy. Now, with his departure, we should have some current deputy.
Okay, that makes sense. I just thought it was always the, you know, head of engineering and the assistant, so it would streamline things by naming a position instead of individuals.
Not necessarily.
Okay, that clarifies it for me. Thank you.
Any other questions of Mr. Grant? Councilor Merrill.
Is there any special course that Garrett has to take or anything like that?
No, so as a professional engineer, our background education will give us the knowledge that we need to apply standards that we know and we know manuals and materials we have to follow. We follow the Motor Vehicle Act and other acts and legislatures that would apply.
Any other questions? Someone wish to make Councilor Brown?
Does Garrett agree to this, or has he been voluntold?
Yes, it's all good.
Councilor Fancy?
Yeah, I remember back here a few years ago, and especially when the transition was going from them to you fellows to be able, that I had asked the RCMP, and they said, look, we've never been trained in this, I've never been trained in it, so there aren't any things that need to be, added to or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I think for the most part, that's probably pretty fair for them to say if they're not specifically trained. I guess their knowledge, as far as I understand, would be a matter of enforcing the laws they see for them and issuing certain kinds of tickets, that kind of stuff. So as far as looking at engineering principles and using that kind of knowledge and judgment to apply, they wouldn't necessarily have that just inherently in their standardized training.
Okay.
Do we need a motion to refer this council? Charlton?
I move that this issue be referred to the next council meeting for a recommendation.
Seconded by Councilor Romero. Any questions? All those in favor? Nope. 7.2, at last council meeting, we had a very in-depth review of the agricultural sector review. So the question is, what does council wish to move forward with this? Where would they like to see it used? How can we use the information to our advantage? And how can we share it? Any ideas or suggestions on this? Example, it contains that link to that very valuable study that was done over a 3-year period. Do we wish to keep that alive? Do we wish to keep that forefront as an attraction? Do you wish a section devoted to potential agriculture be created? What are your suggestions, Mr. Lane?
So, any data is good data. So I think there's certainly mileage in having a periodic review of the climate data. If that was the wish of council, there'd be value in that. Certainly anything that we do in terms of promotion and marketing is always well-founded and it's well within our scope. But other than that, it would be difficult to think of recommendations that are proactive from a council point of view. So we can't necessarily influence business creation, business startup, market forces, these sorts of things. So we might have lots of good ideas of projects and things that somebody could do, but it's probably not us.
Where should this live? Where should this document live?
I think having a periodic review of all sectors is well worthwhile, just to take a note of where we are and how things are changing over a period of time. So there's certainly, you know, no harm in having it purely as a backgrounder and review information.
Councillor Fancy?
So really what we're doing is we're just bringing an update to even climate change and other things, of what we could grow here, what we couldn't grow here, how we could be best adapted to things. So all you're doing is, there's nothing here for us to have a recommendation against, it's just information. So we're just taking the information and trying to update it, so if somebody wants to try to do something, they have a little more information, and information is good.
And every time we do that, it shines a focus, it shines a light on that sector, and it may well, you know, bring it to the attention of somebody who is interested in an agricultural enterprise, and so there's value in doing that.
Yes.
Council, by doing that, shows its keenness for promotion of the sector.
Councillor Charlton?
Is this something that could be added to, like, the Engage Queens website, so that when this is reviewed, and if any new information, if someone goes on to the Engage Queens and is interested in agriculture, they can tick that box and then they receive any updates of anything happening?
From a technical point of view, certainly we could do that.
Okay. And the other question I have is from a promoting and marketing point, are we highlighting, I'm not sure, so apologies if you have, but are we doing any kind of advertising or highlighting for existing businesses, like Van Dyke or things like that, where you could do some of those little video clips that have reached thousands, tens of thousands of people that have been successful within our region previously?
Yeah, for sure. So there's nothing active right now, but we certainly have done that previously, and it's certainly something that we've been considering. It was specifically what mentioned in here, the idea that if we couldn't make Agriculture Day happen again because of pandemic restrictions, then what were the alternatives? And one of the alternatives was to do a video series, and it would exactly do that.
Okay.
Yeah, it would highlight the successful side of agriculture in the county.
Councillor Brown?
I think this should stay with the Economic Development Department, because it's, you know, we've been talking about the data that we have and how important data is if people do contact us. So I think it's important that we keep this up to date and have it as background in case somebody calls and says, I want a farm in Queens County, what are the options? And you had mentioned at one time that none of the real estate agencies advertise any arable land or for farmable land. Is it something that we could look at to, you know, to get a list of possible, you know, potential areas?
Yeah, so there is one agency in Nova Scotia that deals sort of particularly with country rural agricultural properties, but that's it. They have one broker.
Right.
Other than that, I think there's definitely mileage in working with realtors on this, and really to determine what land is available, because they quite often won't concentrate on the land as the sellable feature.
Right.
They'll focus on the property, and it just so happens that it has 150 acres. And whether that's because they just haven't had the demand, or whether it's just not been marketed, not sure. But certainly having an idea of available agricultural land, it's difficult to do, but we could certainly make a stab at it.
Okay.
WMUs, you take the chair. My thought, and I guess where I was trying to lead the question or the suggestion, was that how do we let people know it? People who aren't familiar with Queens to come visit our website, perhaps we should have a link, and some sector background or papers in there. Rockets in the back. Can we ask just come up a minute? So Ms. Rockett, in our economic development section, would it be possible to have a link in there to our various sectors? So if someone is looking at economic development in Queens, they actually can see, oh, there's agriculture. And then this would be available to any reader anywhere in the world, rather than the suggestion that staff keep it as a background paper, because then you have to know it, you have to know it's there to ask for it. Whereas sometimes important things like this that have taken a tremendous amount of work get shelved on a shelf and get forgotten. And this is recent current data that could be kept updated with as census come in and small changes made. I'm just wondering how we can keep this alive.
So we do have a section on our website. I think it's under business, under key industries. Agriculture would be there. But we can certainly include a link or just upload the document. I think I would suggest maybe turning it into a slightly more of a, like a bit more of a profile than a review. I would just suggest some small changes to it and maybe add some photos or profiles of people who we know are currently farming, like exactly that might be a great example. But yeah, I don't think that would be a problem to add a document to our industries.
So if I could. What is there budget impacts to do that? Do you see it being done in the next quarter?
Yeah, I think we could do it in the next quarter and there wouldn't be any budget impacts. We would do that
within the next quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just notify us when it's up.
Council Fancy.
Yes, so along with it, you know, we have a lot of information anyway, but who knows about it, right? Because it gets cumbersome. Like, if I wanted to try to read through this, and I just wanted to read it, but if it had a shorter point, say, blueberries are very productive in this area, you know, just like a little sheet on blueberries or something where someone said, oh, why don't I do that? Like, I think up the road from me, there's a fellow there who's bought a house, and he's got a bunch of apple trees and things around, and we've talked about what's going on over there with the hip farm with the apples and things, and he's got a lot, and they got big pieces of land, but it wasn't bought for that. But having that in mind, when you buy it, knowing that these are things that could be, even if it's for realtors, just little points, something that isn't cumbersome, that becomes, you have to read all the way down through to find what you can do, I don't know, just more of a bullet points type of thing.
So I think it could be possible to have that included, and then it could be a document that is made up of sort of quick little snapshots that can be separated out into a
Council Sharp.
I just wanted to add to the Council Fancy comment. If you could focus on some highlights that could be shared, and that those things could be shared on platforms like Facebook and Instagram, things like that, with the link to this report. So if that interests you, you could go digging for more if you wanted, but just something to like catch somebody's eye. I think that's a good point too.
Council Gibney?
Yeah, I think this is a very important document. They can create it. There's a lot of information here. A lot of times we don't refer to Queens as a farming community, and this indicates that it can be. You know, and I think this is, we should not be hiding it, we should be promoting it. I think this is a wonderful idea. I like the idea that put the reference on, that go Facebook, Twitter, whatever. I think it would be a very positive thing for our community. Thank you.
Else?
I do disagree with Counselor Charlton's comment about placing it on the Engage Queens website. That website is for people who want to know if applying for a job, applying for a committee. It's not the site that we dump all of our documents on, because we could flood it with policies. Every time we change a policy, you want to know that. That Engage Queens is specifically for people seeking employment, seeking information about committees, seeking information about how they can participate in our actions. And if we start putting this document in, then, I mean, it's really going to sit there because it's not asking for any participation. Anyway, that's just my comment on the purpose of the Engage Queens website.
So I don't mean to bog down Engage Queens. What I meant was, if you were interested in agriculture, you could tick a box so that when there's information updated on our website, you would be notified of the updates. Because the point of Engage Queens is you're engaging people. You're saying of committees and things like that, but we get to decide what's accessible to those people who are wishing to engage. So it's just, if you're trying to highlight something that's really lost, I just thought it would be a good point. If you were interested in that, then you could get that information when anything changed. And maybe council disagrees, and so that's everybody else.
Anything on that, Richard?
I would be interested. I think, you know, engaging people or keeping anyone who is interested, keeping them in the loop is you know, quite, it's a common aim. I would maybe be more keen to establish a mailing list through the Ag Day, the Agriculture Day forum, or possibly the Grow Southwest Nova website, and use that as the mechanism for gathering, you know, and using the mailing list.
Okay.
Yeah, that's certainly
the same idea, just a different avenue.
Exactly.
Any other councillors? So I don't think we need a recommendation. I think it has to go back to Richard and Jenny to come up with an idea and bring it back to the council.
And that is the end of the public session of this morning's council meeting. If I could have a motion to go in camera, moved by Councillor Brown, seconded by Councillor Hawks. All those in favor?